I'm Maeve Ann, the founder and owner of Maeve by the Sea, a gift and home shop that also supports creatives. I welcome you to this Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series, which includes top tips and insights from talented local creators who live and work their passions every day. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone, and hello to all the listeners for the Maeve by the Sea Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series. This is episode 2, and I am wanting to share top tips for all the creatives out there about how to be creative. And today I am very, very excited because I have a bit of an icon here. We are talking to Annie Sloan herself. Welcome, Annie, to our podcast series.
Hello, I'm really delighted to be here. I think it's fantastic. I love what you're doing. Brilliant.
Thank you so much, Annie. Thank you. So just a bit of background then for anyone who doesn't know Annie Sloan, you really should know her by now. She is the original chalk paint creator back in 1990. You can follow her journey on her website, anniesloan.co.uk, and on social media. And my name's Maeve Ann, and I am the owner of Maeve by the Sea, which is a shop in County Down, Northern Ireland. You can follow me on maevebythesea.com. So about 9 months ago, and I'm quite new into my business, about 6 months into my business, I actually sent Annie a message and I asked her, could I become part of a global stockist family of 1,500 stockists or thereabouts that Annie has? And Annie said yes, which I was absolutely delighted about, and so started my journey with Annie. But Annie, I was wondering, could you please tell our listeners, how did the chalk paint journey start for you in 1990? Tell us how your journey began.
Well, it's a really interesting thing that I did, because I did it. I came at it sort of sideways. I knew I wanted to make something in a paint. I didn't know exactly, because I knew what I needed. I knew that I needed something that was very flexible. At that time, there was nothing. There was no such thing as chalk paint. All there was house paints. Yeah. House paints were very hard, practical, scrubby sort of things, very acrylic or oil paint. Didn't want either of those. The colours were awful anyway. Or you had artist paints. And artist paints were expensive. And I liked them. But, I mean, you couldn't possibly paint large bits of furniture with them. Just not possible. Small containers. So I thought, I want to combine these two things. So I combined the colours of artist paints, and some of the things of sort of specialist paints, like gesso. There were certain sorts of, no, not gesso, an acrylic, no, not an acrylic, what was it now? It was sort of called placa colour, and it was a sort of, not sure exactly what it was, but I wanted something like that. So I went off to my factory, which came to be by chance. What happened? I was in everything. You know, you do this thing. You have a sort of idea of what you want, and then you meet people. I happened to be in the Netherlands teaching, and I said to this guy, I'd love to make my own paint because I've got this idea. And he said, oh, I know a paint factory. And that was amazing. He said, there's small paint factory, because I didn't know that small paint factories existed. I just thought you got sort of ICI and Dulux and all of that sort of thing. There wasn't even the likes of Farron Ball really then. They were smallish, but not properly. So I then said, okay, let's go. And I found this amazing factory in Belgium, family owned. And they were very, very keen to work with me. And so I said, this is what I want. This is how it should be. And we made things. And I'd go, no, that's not quite right. And then we'd do it something else. And I'd go, no, that's not quite right. And so we went on until we found what we wanted.
So you knew exactly what way you wanted to be mixed up and all the ingredients and the textures and colours. How long did that process take?
Well, I had to go back home and then come back again. So over a period of time, probably about 3 or 4 months, not that long, because, you know, you sort of I had small children at the time, so I had to go back and then come back again. And it was done in a few months. Yeah,
that's fantastic. And I always remember you saying, because I've picked up on this over the months, that when the kids were small and you were creating the chalk paint, one thing that you wanted was it quick drying so that, that you'd be ready to collect them from school. Is that right?
Absolutely. So what I, it was true. What I wanted is I want to take them to school, walk them to school, and then I'd get back. And I wanted something I could paint and finish and put away and no one would know. So I didn't want them coming back and starting. They were all under 10 at that time, three boys. And I didn't want them all coming back and putting their fingers in the paint and all the rest of it. I wanted it all to be done. So, yes, it was, exactly.
And is that where the wax came from then, to protect that kind of protection coat at the end?
Well, I'd already seen. So I, what I used to do is I'd go around to all these amazing houses, very grand houses, because paint finishes had been a big thing. And I'd go to these grand houses and see amazing old paint finishes. And one of the things I saw that people used to use wax as a finish. And I thought how beautiful it was. I'd never seen such a beautiful finish, because before that, you either had a paint, which would be a sort of plasticky paint, or an oil paint, which would be a bit shiny and hard, or you had a varnish on it. And varnishes are a bit hard. Plastic varnishes are even nastier. And then I saw this wax and I was blown away by it. I just thought it was so, so beautiful.
Yeah, and smooth, and then the different textures and colours that you can create with that. So way back in 1990, how many colours did you have then when you first started?
Started with 12.
That's a good few. Yeah.
Not bad. I started with white. Number one was white. Number two was Chateau Grey. I made all the colours that I knew I wanted. And it was like an artist paint box. That was the whole idea.
Wow, amazing. And now we have so many colours and everybody knows your bright colours. And in this shop, Capri Pink and Oxford Navy are big favourites. And then we have, obviously, with the wall paint, which we'll talk about in a little minute or two. And you've just relaunched that. So that's kind of exciting for me as a stockist, because people are getting to try that out and look at the different colours that you've created with that. So I'm going to take a little side sort of step here in the conversation. And I'm just thinking, you, Annie, I mean, just to give a bit of context, you run a global company. You're in many different countries throughout the world and you've 1,500 stockists. And that's the journey from 1990 until now. But I know, from what I know of you, you're a very creative individual. And there are a lot of creative people listening to today, and they have their own little arts and crafts and things that they like to create. How do you stay creative when you're running a global company?
Well, that's such a lovely question, because it really does identify a big issue that people like myself have. I'm a sort of creative person, I suppose. It's a sort of entrepreneurial thing as well. And so some of my creativity goes into the entrepreneurship, you know, always thinking of a new idea. And people are always sort of trying to not attack me, but, you know, jump on my bandwagon. So I'm always thinking, rethinking things. And so that's a lot of my creativity goes into that. But there is also a creativity, which is my own one, where I just need to paint and do stuff and sort of recharge my batteries. So I do have to get away and do stuff. Sometimes I just have to. I mean, I really just can't stand it any longer. I'm actually a bit like that at the moment. So I've just been very, 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 very busy. We've been launching stuff. You talked a bit about it, and I've been out and doing stuff. And I've just got to come home now and sort of paint and just do my own thing. And I've got a lot of plans. So that's what's going to happen soon.
What does that look like for the listeners then? Have you a little studio in your house and you're just painting away? Or I've seen that you use your house as a little bit of a blank canvas with a bit of color testing going on. You know, what? Tell the listeners, what does Annie Sloan creative crazy look like?
Well, I've got a lot of stuff in my house. Recently, I didn't really have anywhere to work. So I need to test things. And so I do test things on the walls of my house. I mean, it's not for everybody, I know, but I do. I quite like that sort of slightly patchworky and the house is full of stuff. I mean, it really is. I mean, I find little things and want to have them because I think they're so gorgeous. I do have a studio here. Over lockdown, I had a studio in my house. We've recently bought another building, which is going to be for doing photo shoots and another sort of creative outlet, really. And so I'm planning there to do lots and lots of things. And I've got myself a little studio there where I'll be able to go and quietly work and recharge my batteries. That's the whole plan anyway.
Fantastic. And, sounds great.
So much I want to do. It's very, very exciting. The other thing I always do is I do have sketchbooks all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. Have a sketchbook with you so that you can jog notes down. I mean,
jot down ideas.
Yeah. Colours. And
I know from chatting to you before, like your studio space sounds interesting because you like, you know, and this is kind of a bit where you know, the entrepreneurial journey comes in, where you like product placement and you like to set up your colour schemes with different backgrounds and that kind of interiors look and feel, which is kind of nice to go down that way with the wall paint as well. So
that's a bit of
creativity coming in too. And your entrepreneurial, I'm a business owner by default with a corporate background, but my creativity, I would be musical and it's sing and different things like that, but I would never kind of have said I would ended up, you know, using Annie Sloan paint, for example. But I am a true entrepreneur, and I really like what you said earlier about creativity, because as an entrepreneur, you're constantly thinking and planning ahead and thinking about new ideas, and it's kind of ingrained in your brain, isn't it? So you have both aspects of creativity. You have that physical painting creativity and you have the entrepreneurial mindset ongoing all of the time.
So I think entrepreneurial, like you are as well, I know from talking to you, you've always got a future plan going on.
Yes, and that's key. I've said that to people before and they think I'm mad when I'm talking 1 or 2 years down the line, but it's really important, especially in times of change, because you have to be a little bit in the clouds and think about some big ideas going forward, which is good.
Well, the big thing is that nothing ever stays the same, nothing. And so if you don't plan and make ideas, think about the future, then things will change anyway. And so you've got to be prepared to jump, do this, do that, change here, change there.
Definitely.
I find that really exciting. But if you're not like that, if you're used to a job where you get the money every week, and whether you work hard or you don't work hard, and the money still comes in, then being an entrepreneur and running your own business is not for you, because it is scary. Things go up and you've got to spend out sometimes vast amounts of money to have something, and you think, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
We're slightly living on the edge.
You are, but I think that's part of it. I think I love doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do it as it would if I thought, well, this isn't going to work. I do it because I think it will work.
Yep.
And you're the same. You've got ideas.
Yeah, no, we totally.
Won't say what they are, but I.
Oh, that was bold, Annie. So I suppose that leads me nicely on, because when I met you, it was over Instagram, and I opened my business just about a year and a half ago. Instagram was a medium I'd never used myself, but I set it up for the shop. And that's actually how I met you, because you do lives that everybody and any listener to this podcast who already knows that you do your Wednesday live sessions with entrepreneurs, designers from all around the world, such interesting people to connect with. And you started that really in a lockdown environment when people weren't out and about in the shops. And it was through Instagram that I messaged you. And you're very active on Instagram and on social media. And I know from knowing you that you're a big advocate of it. Can you talk to, like, say, for example, we have a little crafter listening to us and they do textile design and creativity, or they make cushions. What is your advice to someone who is sitting there at home about the use of social media to promote their products and their creativity?
If you don't use it, you really are missing such a huge opportunity. I can talk. I mean, this afternoon, I went out. I had spent the day at home and I went out for lunch to a little local place. And while I was having my lunch, I was messaging on Instagram a woman who is, she's got about 1,500 followers. So not huge number, but pretty good. And she's in New Jersey. And I'm just saying to her, your work is wonderful. I really like it. I'd love to promote it and post about it more. And she's saying, oh, my goodness, this is wonderful, you know, because I don't have much confidence and I don't know if I'm really good enough. And I'm saying, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Well, that is what happens, basically. I can talk to anybody and I'm noticing her and I'm encouraging her to do things. And then we've had a little chat. And that is what, and I've also met loads of other people. I bought pottery from people. I bought some beautiful pottery the other day from someone called Erica Gronberg. You should look her up.
Okay.
She's in Sweden and she posts quite a lot of all the little bits of pottery she makes. And they're angels. They're gorgeous. Not for everybody, but they're very me. Yep. I'm doing a rug design with somebody. I won't say just in case it doesn't happen, but I'm doing a rug design with someone and she's making, weaving a rug for me and it will be sold and we'll sell them. So they're limited editions. People have contacted me. I've made some plates recently. He contacted me and said, would you like to do a tile and a plate design? I said, yes, marvelous. Wow. I'd love to. Wow. So this is what happens. So if you don't connect on Instagram, you know, it actually works better if you're small and independent rather than if you're, I don't know, Coca-Cola or something.
Yeah.
There's nobody write to Coca-Cola, but you do want to write to someone who you think, oh, I like your bowls or your pottery.
Yeah.
Or
I suppose actually that's really interesting for me, but as a stockist, because you've sort of talked about things on three levels there. You're a consumer yourself, so you're on there buying products.
Yep.
You're appreciating other art, you're appreciating other craft and buying for your own home and yourself. You're doing your business connections thing by default with the guy with the tiles who wants to work with you in the design. That's a fabulous collaboration for the future, and goodness knows where that'll go. But then you do, and you probably don't, I would see this in you, but you mightn't describe it as yourself, but you're a very good mentor because you encourage so many people on all levels. So I'm a stockist, you're encouraging me, but you're encouraging designers, you're encouraging young people to use your paints to upcycle, send in photographs. And at the minute you're doing your color, you know, collaboration work and you're doing your competitions. So, you know, you take the time with people to encourage them, probably because that's the journey that you've been on and you've been encouraged.
I've always thought also no man is an island, you know, I'm just not here on my own. You know, I relate to loads of other people and if you help me, I'll help you. And I think it all works that way. And, you know, there's no point in being an artist in an attic, you know. You need to go out there, and if nobody knows that you're the artist in the attic or the shop, then, you know, nobody knows. I mean, it is hard work. I think you have to base your business around Instagram. I think that's how it's gone now. Your Instagram could be is what you think, well, what am I going to show the public today? Just like it used to be your shop window. Well, people aren't walking past your shop window nearly as much as they used to. I mean, I would walk past shops frequently now. I mean, the only reason I went into town today was to go to Boots to go to the chemist, you know.
Yeah. It's essentials only, really. Yeah.
It is essentials, whereas you used to walk out to go and get your apples and your you know, fruit and veg, but you don't do that anymore, nearly so much anyway. So your shop window is now Instagram. And so if you are a small independent business, then you need to think. So if you are small and independent, you need to post probably twice a day.
Yep. Yeah. And I know we'd mentioned that before.
Four stories a day.
Yeah, I know, because everybody's kind of, it's strange. It's a bit like some of the people on your socials might never be in your shop, but they might order from your website. So it's kind of how you present yourself in two different ways. And I think for me, Instagram's been great for my business because I would have more of a followership on it than Facebook. But I know, like, we've the likes of TikTok now, and Pinterest is getting really big, particularly in the design world.
Mm, yeah. all these things go round again. You know, Pinterest was really huge and then it dropped off and now it's coming back up again. Everything changes. Like I say, nothing changes. And that's why it's exciting being in business, I think.
I know. So, Annie, I would describe you to someone else probably as ageless, which you will be pleased to hear. But I think it's because you have quite a fun and young approach to things. And I know that you look to the young and what the trends are to kind of, you know, keep things fresh. And that's something that I've learned as well, particularly around young artists who enjoy, you know, using chalk paint. And I always say the under 25s, I'm 40, I'm not that old, but like sometimes the under 25s are the ones that are setting the trend. And I think, you know, you are quite fun and you probably use the colour kind of as the fun piece for sort of portraying that as an Annie Stone brand.
Well, you know, I've been in this business for so long and you see things come and go. And also I was trained as a fine artist. So I've always had quite a forward looking idea about what colour and design is. You know, modern art isn't something new to me. I've been used to it since I was at first in art school, you know, when I was 17. So that's always been around my life, and colour and bright things and being a bit different has always been part of my life. And so people are now saying to me about stuff and I go, yeah, I know all about that, done that, been got, I know. It's just so, like all the sort of modern stuff that people abstract ideas that people are painting onto furniture now. I mean, it's not new to me.
Yeah, it's been done before 100 times over.
In a way. I mean, I don't mean that to be like, oh, this is boring. I mean, I find it really exciting that people are discovering things now in the mainstream, which I'd found before in the alternative stream. But, you know, everything that was alternative now becomes mainstream. And so it goes on.
Yeah. And I suppose, like, for me, you know, I look at some of the lives and some of the stockists and designers around the world, and there are some quirky followers of yours. They're so interesting and colourful and amazing personalities. But would you say, like, the Annie Sloan brand has a typical customer, or is it just all-encompassing? And
that is my aim and what I absolutely love. I remember a stockist years ago, she said, I opened my shop and my first customer was this guy that came up in a great big Harley Davidson, came in the shop covered in tattoos and bought the paint. And then he said, my second customer was a little old lady with grey hair and a little beanie hat on. And I just thought, that's perfect. That is what I'm after.
I love it. You want it all.
Well, there's no reason why everybody shouldn't be able to. I mean, it's not for one type of person, you know.
Yeah,
you
can
and you can paint anything you like. You can paint flowers, you can paint stripes, you can paint, you know, grand and luxurious, or you can paint rustic. I mean, it's just everything you can do with it. And
yeah,
that's
so dynamic. And I think that, you know, you have little, as a stockist, you have little sheets and it talks about, you know, how to use wax and all the surfaces and, you know, doing kitchens and everything. And people be amazed when you say to them, oh, you can use Annie Stone on concrete and wood and, do your outside fence. And they're looking at me like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, this is the everything goes type of product, you know. But I think for me, it's amusing. We have a guy here, I'll not name his name because if he listens to it, he'd be appalled that I would mention his name. But he's our local delivery guy. He drives a little white fan. He drives around the couple of towns near the shop, and you could nearly time him in the mornings because, you know, at 8 a.m. he's gone down into our development and he's delivering off parcels for Amazon and whatever. And he rocked into the shop a few weeks ago to buy his small tins of Annie Stone chalk paint, and we practically interviewed him to find out, you know, what he was painting and what it was all about. And, you know, I just did not expect, not that you should have an expectation, I suppose, but I didn't expect him to be coming in for the Annie Sloan, and I just love to see that because
that is
surprises.
I love it.
And then he comes back for his brushes or his wax or whatever he needs next, and he's looked at his color chart and he's got new colors to come in. And it is a journey as a stockist. I think it's a journey with the customers. You want them to send you the pictures, you want to see the transformations, and it does make it such fun and good crack, really, you know, to kind of
follow
them on the journey.
Any business that you do, there should be a sort of a story and a journey, and it should be fun. It should not be, I mean, it will be hard. It will be very hard. You have to be chief cook and bottle washer, but you also have got to have, as you say, the crack.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we're all about the crack in Northern Ireland, Anna, you know. So then you and I had a bit of a pre-chat, so I'm going to share this because I'm just conscious of time. Time flies in with you, Annie. We've been talking for nearly 25 minutes. Can you believe it?
Oh, my goodness.
I know, but I could talk to you all day. I've told you that before. But you and I had a chat last week and we were talking about your Sloan ancestry. So I'll give a little bit of context here and then you can talk for a few minutes about it. So, Annie, you obviously live in Oxford and you were born in Australia. Your mother was from Fiji and your father, Scotland, Eyre in Scotland, yeah. And your surname Sloan. And I'm in County Down in Northern Ireland. And I've actually spoke to a couple of friends in the last few days since you and I spoke who know Sloan families, four Sloan families we've identified in County Down. But it is quite a County Down, Northern Ireland focused name. But you have a grandfather, I think, that you told me who was called John Sloan, born in 1815. Is that right?
1815. It'd be a great grandfather, I think he was. Born in 1815, and all we know, he was born in County Down in Northern Ireland, and then he went across. I think he had a son also born in Ireland in County Down called called Robert.
And then they
went to Glasgow. They were iron smelters, I think, or iron moulders. And they went and they all lived in Hutchinson Town in Glasgow, where there was a big Irish community.
Wow.
And so that's how the family came over. But yes, Scots Irish, so definitely born in Ireland.
And do you know much about those times? You know, have you much sort of like tracking on the history there? Or
a little bit from Scotland, yes. And I know that they were incredibly poor. And I always look at that and think how amazing their journey has been. Because they came as iron moulders, which I think is not a very grand job, I don't think. And they were working. And I found a place actually in the west of Scotland, where they looked at their houses where they were living in, and it was just such poverty. I mean, you know, one room and a pathway in front of their house where the water came down. I mean, it was just.
I think probably a bit of a lack of colour in those days as well.
I don't know what colour they would have seen.
It might have been all grey.
Yeah,
although you have a great grey palette. I always say that to anyone that's looking for a grey. You do have about 8 greys there. But, you know, back in the 1800s, I'm not sure they were going to have a capri pink feel going on.
I don't think there would have been. I think that colour would have been awful. I mean, nothing. But I do think they were all great entrepreneurs.
Because it would have been quite a reactive time, wouldn't it, financially?
Yeah, you'd have. Yeah, if you didn't start working and get on your bike, you would not have been able to survive, I don't think.
Definitely not. So there you go. So for any of the listeners from Northern Ireland in the County Down area, Annie Sloan, her roots
Hello.
Are firmly cemented in County Down in 1815 with her great-grandfather, John Sloan. And you know what? I am confident that I'm going to have people come in to tell me that they're related to you. So if there's any more...
I love it.
If there's any more information for Annie around those Sloan roots in County Down from 1815 onwards, get in touch with us or me or
Please.
Annie, because we'd
Please.
Love to hear more. And I know of two Sloan families from the place that I'm from a place called Saul, outside Downpatrick in County Down, and I chatted to a mentor of mine this morning and he knows of other Sloan families in the north part of County Down, so there's four Sloan families in just two conversations, so who knows what might come up, you know.
Amazing.
We'll definitely get you more information there. So, Annie, I think we're going to have to round up, even though I could talk to you for another 10 years. But I want to I did want to mention a little bit about, so chalk paint in Northern Ireland. I'm one of, I think, 10 stockists in Northern Ireland. And I know in England, for example, in sort of Scotland, Wales, you have a number of stockists. So I always find it a privilege to represent your brand here. And because I'm on my journey of learning with the chalk paint and the wall paint as well, it's very exciting. To tell the listeners about the wall paint and the recent relaunch and what sort of the whole purpose of that was.
Well, the idea is that we're everything for the home, and I wanted something for the walls that are strong and you can wash and clean and all the rest of it, because the chalk paint came out first as a decorative paint. And I loved the idea of being able to paint your wall and then paint something in front of, to put a piece of furniture in front of it that would either would go with it. So all the wall colours are going to be either complementary or the same or similar to the chalk paint colours. And I just love the fact that everything sort of works together. I think it's really, really lovely. That was my main aim, really. I just always think when I'm sitting, my home is very important, and I'm sitting here, and I love the fact that everything sort of works together, the wall colours and the, yeah, that's it, really. That's right. There's nothing more to it than that. And the other thing I do want to say is that I sell in independent shops, and that has been a huge part of what I want to do, because I think, and I supporting small communities as well. I think that's really, really good.
So, and although that's something I appreciate, because I am a small business owner, I opened a business in a risky time, and it is, from my perspective, it's a fantastic network to be a part of, because you treat your stock as like a family. And don't get me wrong, we might not interact very often, but it's a very supportive environment with a lot of resources. I get to be a stockist on your website, so there's global reach there. You know, there are so many benefits to that, and it is something that really appealed to me for becoming a stockist, because it can be lonely, the journey, and you need to know. And it's such a backing to know that I have customers coming in for the first time because I carry your brand, and I know about what it is that you're doing, and I can sort of I translate the message for you, which is a big privilege for me, and it's not something I take lightly. And I know you're picky about your stockists, and everybody's working away in the background for you as best they can. I suppose for me, using the wall paint for the first time, we did the front of the shop in Knightsbridge Green, which is a gorgeous colour for anyone listening, but it is a one coat wonder, and it goes on so smooth. It is absolutely a beautiful product, and I am quite excited to start using it in my own house. I've been stocking up just this morning with the Northern Ireland distributor on some pots for the house, which is great. But tell me, did you go, just as a last point, and I'm so curious, did you go back in to the workshop to work on the actual consistency of this paint this time in the relaunch? Talk us through the process.
Oh, this is not just me just going and telling over the phone. I'm in a warehouse where we've got a factory, and the factory downstairs, we've got it's called a lab, but it's a sort of a lab, and we make the paint and we test it, and absolutely, and I have a huge amount of input into it. Impact as well, actually. Testing all the time and getting the colour exactly right as well, because the colour is, it isn't just something that I just put my name to. I do work at it. And you'd be amazed at how many iterations of Knightsbridge Green there was, for instance. You know, should it be a little blue or a little black or a little grey or a little whatever it was, we would play about with it. And also then I put it all together with everything else and go, oh no, it's too blue or it's too green or whatever.
Well, so, it's absolutely perfect. I love it.
Thank you. She tells me without even trying.
It is a great product to work with, but I think it's really important for the listeners to understand that, because, you know, you're a global company, you've got such the reach, but you're still in there and working the product and the consistency and the makeup, and that's so key, because I work with a lot of crafters and creators, and they maybe hand pour their candles, they oversee the production process very closely, and that's passion. That's passion for what you do. And
but you see, I've always done it. It was never a thing that, I know some people, like big famous, pop singers or something, will put their name to a perfume, and they probably didn't even, they had no idea who made it or how it was made. Whereas for me, I made it right from the beginning. I went to the factory and I made it. So yes, it's very, very, very important, and something that is quite rare in today's society, I think. So I'm very proud of that.
Brilliant. Well done. And just to round us off then, Annie, the creatives are listening. They're listening to your tips today and all your story. Is there one final takeaway of inspiration for them to keep going?
Oh, gosh. Oh, well, really? I think I talked about the Instagram thing. I think just keep doing things. Work around Instagram. If you're making something, say you're making a brooch or a hat or whatever, as you're painting it or making it rather, take photographs. Just always document your stuff so that you've always got things to tell the world about what you're doing. Because I bet someone's out there waiting to see your stuff.
Totally. And sharing progression videos, we find works, yeah. You know, with our ladder in the shop, people like to see a work in progress and a before and an after. It's quite inspiring then. It kind of gets you sort of feeling that you might be able to do it a bit more nearly, doesn't it?
You see, this is the most wonderful time because when I first started, I couldn't get to the public. Now I can. I can tell people, look, this is what I'm doing. And you can show that you're doing it and not, you know, it's wonderful. I think it's a really great time to be creative. I know it's difficult at the moment. I'm very aware of that. But it's never been a better time.
No, I agree. It's the new age. And I notice a lot of creativity has been sparked by people being in their homes because it was in them. Absolutely. It's now coming out for the first time in all ways, which is lovely. Yeah, really, really nice.
And even if you're not doing a business, painting is good fun because a lot of people say it's great therapy.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Annie, I'm going to round us off there. I just want to take the opportunity to thank you once again for chatting to me today. I've really enjoyed the podcast. For all of the listeners, you have been listening to episode 2 with Annie Sloan herself in the Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series, which was tips for you as creatives to keep going. And do you know, hopefully maybe in the future, Annie, you and I can do a follow-up chat because we might have more to talk about.
We've got so much to talk about, Maybeth. It's amazing. I'd love to do that. Really, really good.
Brilliant. And for anyone who wants to follow me and Annie and our journeys, you'll follow Annie on her website, anniesloan.co.uk. You'll get all the products there, wall paint, chalk paint. We have new decoupage papers. You have everything under the sun there in terms of accessories, books. And for me, I'm mimibythesea.com and I support local craft and art. I'm an Annie Sloan stockist. I'm very proud to be one. And I'd just like to thank all the listeners for joining us today. And Annie, we will chat soon.
Thank you very, very much, Maybelle. It's been amazing.
Thanks, Annie. I'm so happy that we did this. All the best. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. You have been listening to the Turning Your Passion into Business podcast series. We hope that you got some tips and insights from passionate creators that you can apply to your own creativeness. We are Mimi by the Sea. Gift, home, dream. For gifts, home and supporting creatives. You can shop online at mimibythesea.com or in store in the harbour area of Newcastle, County Down, Northern Ireland.